D-Mace Vingen and Donick 102.5. The game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Willie, Derek, and I are live inside Bridgestone Arena, where the Nashville Predators will host the Colorado Avalanche at the ungodly hour of 8:30. That's right, an 8:30 p.m. puck drop, 7:30 p.m. pregame, right here on 102.5 The Game. It is a nationally televised game on TNT, so Willie Donick and the crew get the night off, but that means you have to wait an extra 90 minutes for Predators hockey tonight, so sorry, guys. It's awful.
It's okay. Hey, we'll get over it.
As long as it ends up as a win, it
doesn't
matter.
Yeah, just think that way. Yeah. Pull the upset.
Who's calling the game for TNT?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I wasn't sure. I meant to ask that earlier today, and I didn't.
I'm just going to say now, and I've said it before, I hate when y'all are not calling the games. I just don't like it. Don't watch it. So that's just me. I'm biased.
Well, now Willie has a homework assignment. In the meantime, Barry Trotz, Predators GM, will still join us at 5 o'clock. Even with an 8:30 p.m. puck drop, Barry Trotz, will join us at 5 o'clock. Trevor Maddich will join us in the 4 o'clock hour to talk about the college football playoff and more. We also have two giveaways today. In the first hour, be listening for your cue to call because you can win a pair of tickets to see the Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium later this month when Tennessee faces Illinois. So be listening in this hour for the cue to call for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Music City Bowl later this month at Nissan Stadium. We also have a pair of tickets to see Belmont men's basketball to give away as well. So two giveaways. Be listening for the cues to call throughout the program. Just as we were getting off the air last night, gentlemen, we saw the news we were all expecting. Diego Pavia is a Heisman Trophy finalist. He will be in New York City this weekend alongside Fernando Mendoza, Julian Seyin, and Jeremiah Love, the other Heisman Trophy finalists. The ceremony is Saturday at 6 p.m. Central. So we'll see how Diego Pavia does. Fernando Mendoza, I would call him the overwhelming favorite. Last I checked at DraftKings Sportsbook, Mendoza minus 1,000, Pavia plus 600, Love plus 15,000, Seyin plus 70,000. So
70,
it's
70,000.
70,000.
Why did he even have him there? Goodness, why is the kid even there?
Plus 70,000.
Man.
So he gets a free trip to New York, and you know what?
Hey,
pretty damn nice.
I'll take it.
I wasn't a Heisman finalist, so I can't knock his hustle, man. He there.
Congratulations to Diego Pavia. Again, we expected this. I am incredibly fascinated, guys, how this voting is going to go. And I did some research last night because we talked about this on the show yesterday. There are 930 Heisman votes this year. 930. The U.S. is broken up into six voting blocks: Far West, Southwest, Midwest, Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and South. Mm-hmm. Each of those six regions receives 145 votes, plus 59 votes for every former Heisman winner, and apparently a fan gets a vote as well.
So that's a fan?
One fan.
The Heisman Trophy agreed in 1999, the Heisman Trophy agreed to develop a special program to allow the public at large to become part of the balloting process by permitting one fan vote eligible in the overall tabulation.
How do they pick that
five?
At least give me the number of states so we can
to have one from each region.
Exactly.
One person.
One.
Is it the same person?
Do
they pick random people?
It changes every year. I don't know how they choose it, but you have the 145 voters in each of those six regions of the country, which equals 870, plus the 59 Heisman Trophy winners, plus the one fan equals 930. So 930 votes for the Heisman Trophy. So I'm curious how it's going to go.
We project that Diego Pavia will carry the state of New Mexico.
Yes, absolutely. So hopefully that one voter is from Mexico.
Yeah, we need him from, I don't know. Mexico. Yeah, yes. That'd be nice.
That one voter.
What if the one fan is the deciding vote?
It could
be. That would be Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Absolutely.
Episode of Larry David. That's what happened.
Larry David ends up picking the Heisman.
Yes.
That
Larry
one
David,
guy in New Mexico.
Larry David, Heisman Trophy voter. So The Athletic did a straw poll. I heard Joe Rexroad talk about this morning, and I looked it up. So among the Athletic's college football staff, of course, we know Joe Rexroad. We know Mitch Light. A lot of people on that staff have Heisman Trophy votes. Fernando Mendoza received 64 points. Diego Pavia received 61 points. So I wonder if it's actually going to be that close. Now, 930 people did not participate in this poll, but the voting among the Athletic's college football staff, 64 points for Mendoza, 61 for Pavia. So,
you know, I wonder about things like this. Mendoza and Love are all from roughly the same region of the country, right? Are there any – but I just can't see a lot of voters up there voting Sayin or Love first. Like, I was almost hoping that they would split. It would be close enough between those three that you might split a bunch of people from that region, and Pavia would get a higher percentage in regions where they watch him closer. But I don't know how that's going to go. So, like, if you're filling out your ballot, you go 1, 2, 3, right?
Yes.
So, if let's say you're from Indiana or Chicago area and you're voting, and you've watched these three guys a lot, how do you vote? Like, if Mendoza gets all the first place votes up there, that's tough. If somebody sprinkles in a vote for Love, who's maybe who's watched Notre Dame closely, they think Love is super, outstanding and deserves it. I wonder if he steals some first place votes from Mendoza. I'm just looking for scenarios that might even the score, because 64 or 61 is probably closer than the odds would tell you, right? The odds makers.
So, according to The Athletic, Mendoza received 14 first place votes, 10 second place votes, 2 third place votes for a total of 64 points. Pavia received 11 first place votes, 14 second place votes, 0 third place votes for a total of 61 points.
That's why. So that region, let's take the Midwest, or what was the region that would be Big Ten country?
Midwest.
What do you call it?
The Midwest.
The Midwest. If a Midwest voter watches a lot of those teams, Notre Dame, Indiana, and Ohio State, Big Ten focused, I could see them going, well, I haven't watched Pavia play that much. Let's go. I watched the Alabama game or the Texas game. He didn't play quite as well. They lost. They could go 1, 2, 3. He could be off ballots, right? That was one thing. Remember the vote, Adam, a few years ago, the Norris Trophy? That was very, very close between Roman Yossi, who did win it one year, but there was another year where he was very close. And there was a guy in, I think it was in Chicago, he covers the Blackhawks, of course, right? The Predator fans, they had no reaction at all. They didn't care that the guy wrote for the Blackhawks.
It was Scott Powers of the Athletic.
It was Scott Powers of the Athletic. He left Roman Yossi completely off of the ballot, which was insane for somebody in the Central Division to not see that Roman Yossi should have been at least in the top three. It's one thing to vote him over Cale Makar, which was a very tight race. But little things like that add up in the points, right? There's always controversy. You can think about any sport. If you are exposed as a writer who, for whatever reason, just leaves a guy off a ballot, you're more likely to get outed now than you did 30 or 40 years ago.
Rex Rowe told me last night that Heisman Trophy ballots are not transparent. So, for example, when we vote for awards in the NHL, our votes are transparent. So after the awards are unveiled, the Professional Hockey Writers Association puts out a spreadsheet. Here is everybody who voted for this award and all of the players they voted for in the specific order. Rex Rowe told me last night that the Heisman Trophy, whatever it's called, doesn't do that.
Okay.
Individual reporters will say, now that the Heisman Trophy has been awarded, here was my ballot. But it's not...
It's the choice of the writer. Okay.
Correct. By the way, the Midwest region, as determined by the Heisman Committee, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, and Wisconsin. That is the Midwest region. Tennessee is in the South region with Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, and of course Tennessee.
But it's going to be a close race, I think, for this reason, because each one of those teams that each guy is representing, they've been in the limelight. Whether it be, Indiana Mendoza, they've been in the top three or four the whole year. obviously love at Notre Dame. They're always going to be that team that's on the spotlight. Or, you know, Ty Simpson. I mean, not Ty Simpson, but out of Ohio State. They've been the number one team. So they've been getting eyes. And then you have Diego with the story. So he's been getting eyes as well. I think that's why it's going to be so close, because each one of these teams have been ranked high throughout the whole season. So you had to pay attention to them. Vanderbilt's schedule and the way they played it, it causes you to pay attention to them, because now they're beating teams. And now everybody wants to see the Alabama game. Everybody wants to see the Texas game, see what Diego does. Now everybody wants to see the game moving forward. So it's going to be close to me because of that reason. I think Diego is the best player in college football. He's shown it. He should win it. But I don't think there's going to be necessarily like, well, I didn't get a chance to see him, or I didn't get a chance to see this guy, because now the conferences are so blended. You know, you got people out west. Now they're watching Big Ten football, you know, or people in other regions, because of the merger of the conferences. Now they're watching football that maybe wasn't watching 3-4 years ago.
I think what's likely going to happen, you tell me if what do you think of this hypothesis. Where's the bell? Did you not bring the bell?
I thought we were traveling the bell. I need a
travel bell.
You gotta
give it on, we got to get a bell on the phone. So when
yeah. Okay, so here's the hypothesis.
David will get the bell when he can. Thank you, David.
I don't think very many voters will have Mendoza lower than second on their ballot. He's probably going to get, and I hope it doesn't happen, he's probably going to get slightly more first-place votes than Pavia, and I don't think he's going to slip below second on a lot of ballots, maybe a handful. I think Pavia is going to get a lot of first-place votes, but I think he's more apt in the outer regions who don't know much about Vanderbilt, maybe haven't watched him very close. He's more apt to get left-off ballots or third as opposed to second. I think that's going to cost him. So I think he'll get a lot of points, and I think he'll finish second. But I think the margin will be one with Mendoza. Just it's too easy. Undefeated, Indiana special story, fresh in the mind, beat Ohio State.
Yeah, the way you play, the throw.
You have to really do your homework. If you do your homework, I think you can make a great case.
He's more of an impact.
Pavia is better. He's had a better season. More impactful season.
But the person going to end up stealing some votes, I'm telling you, it's going to be Love.
Yes.
Love is going to be the guy that ends up stealing votes. I think that's another reason.
But does he steal votes from Mendoza?
Exactly.
Or Pavia.
That's why it's going to be so – one of the reasons, too, I believe, is going to be so close. Because there are a lot of people that think he is the best player in college football. He wasn't the – he had to split time with he and another back. So just think if he played – was an every down back.
Yeah. Like they used to use Marcus Allen and those guys at USC. Yeah.
If he had the carries that the kid out of Boise State had last year.
Right.
Ashton Gentry,
who just carried the heck out of the ball.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask our resident SEC snob this question. Something else Joe Rexroad brought up to me in a conversation we had last night. How much anti-SEC bias will play into this voting? I know it's Vanderbilt, it's not Alabama, it's not Georgia, but there are a lot of people around the country who have an inherent anti-SEC bias. Does that affect Diego Pavia negatively?
I think I would answer that by saying these are humans, right? And I do think as much as you want to play it straight with the 900 voters, among those voters there will be people that have biases that will influence their vote. And that could factor in. That particular one could factor in. I would tell you that as the SEC snob, because it will work in Pavia's favor as well. I think people from the SEC regions, if you're an SEC snob and you believe it, you believe this to be true, that the week-in, week-out grind of the SEC is unlike any other league. So when you're playing Kentucky or Auburn in the SEC, who would arguably be at the bottom 4 or 5 in the league, it's not the same as playing the lower 4 or 5 teams in any other league. That's how good the league is. So a win over Auburn, as Alabama found out, as Vanderbilt found out, is not easy, even though Auburn didn't have a great record. It was, what, 1-7 in the league? Something like that?
So we'll see. We'll see What happens on Saturday? Diego Pavia is a Heisman Trophy finalist alongside Fernando Mendoza of Indiana, Julian Seyin of Ohio State, and Jeremiah Love, the running back out of Notre Dame. The ceremony is Saturday at 6 p.m. Central in New York City. I can only imagine Diego Pavia being let loose in New York City. I hope Vanderbilt. I hope Vanderbilt brought a film crew, regardless of whether he wins.
I'm sure Pavia brought his own.
That could be true as well. Would you watch a 30-minute video of Diego Pavia gallivanting around New York City?
Absolutely. Yeah, but think about one of his, you know, spiritual motivators, right? Is Johnny Manziel. And if you watch the 30 for 30 on Johnny Manziel, like they've formed a friendship, a bond, where however you want to call it, right? We're the same number, all of that. Johnny Manziel did this, and he wasn't allowed to do it, right? Diego Pavia is doing this. He's allowed to do it, right? There's nothing holding him back. Like, he can do all of these things, live the life. He's got the money. And it's completely different than Manziel, who had to sort of be secretive about it, even though he wasn't.
You know how many – and this is another reason that if Jeremiah Love was the full-time back, he may just have won the Heisman. You know how many times Gentry carried the ball his last season?
No.
374 times. You know how many times Love carried the ball?
No.
199.
199? I would have said for sure 250 at least.
No, 199 times. That's why people believe he is the best player. His yards per carry was outrageous. 10. What is it? No. He averaged 6.9 on 199
carries. So what
was
Gentry?
Gentry was 7.0.
That's pretty impressive.
29 touchdowns, and Love had 21, I think. Does it say? Yeah, he had 21 touchdowns.
One texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says against the premier teams on their schedules, Mendoza went 2-0 and Pavia went 1-2. That's what's going to push Mendoza to first, because Mendoza and the Hoosiers beat Oregon and Ohio State. Pavia beat Tennessee, but lost to Alabama and Texas. That could factor into it. Absolutely.
Some people look at it that way. Yeah. Every voter has his own way of doing it. Look, if that's your logic, I can't say that's terrible logic.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Diego Pavia? He is a Heisman Trophy finalist. How are you feeling about his chances of winning this weekend in New York City? 615-737-1025. You know what? It's the holiday season. It's almost Hanukkah. Christmas is around the corner. We're in a giving mood. So we are going to give away a pair of tickets right now. Be caller number 4. That's right, 4, at 615-737-1025. And you can win a pair of tickets to the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium Tuesday, December 30th, the Volunteers versus the Illini. 615-737-1025. Caller number 4 will win a pair of tickets to the Music City Bowl later this month, just down the street at Nissan Stadium. 615-737-1025. Preds fans, Smashville Live returns tomorrow night at 6 p.m. on 1025 The Game, live from Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Meet your Predators players up close and personal, and also get autographs and pictures. Preds player guests this week are Luke Evangelista and Nick Blankenberg. That's tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100.
A couple of popular guys right now.
Wild and crazy guys, perhaps. Luke Evangelista and Nick Blankenberg tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, and only on 1025 The Game.
Oh, yes.
Well,
smooth jam right here.
Love
number one in the country.
Well, Love will be at the Heisman Trophy ceremony.
He's
Jeremiah
got something
Love,
to do
that
with.
Is.
He the answer is he's got to something to do with it.
That is true. But he probably won't win because his odds are, last I checked, plus 15,000, which is still better than Julian Seyin at plus 70,000. So good luck to you voting or betting on Julian Seyin to win the Heisman Trophy. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com. Before we switch gears, to the Tennessee Titans. A couple of texts about Diego Pavia and the Heisman Trophy on our text line. Tommy says, as a Vols fan, give him the trophy. He's turned a program around for 2 years. Indiana was good last year with a different quarterback in Ohio State. This dude's brought a school into relevance. As much as I don't like some of his antics, he deserves that trophy, and it shouldn't even be close. Bring the Heisman to Nashville. See, Vols fans, that's not so hard now, is it? Tommy is setting the example.
The person probably went into his bathroom, scrubbed his hands with bleach, and then washed his mouth with soap after saying that. It hurt him so bad. But he's right. I mean, he's absolutely right. But are the voters looking at it
from that standpoint? How many voters will take that angle?
Exactly.
Because I do think that's a legit argument. But you could come back as a voter and say, I can't consider anything that happened last year. This is the Heisman Trophy for 2025, and I've got to base it on 2025. But you cannot ignore that the culture build is so much attributed to Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a program that was in the dregs right before he got there. In the dregs.
That's low.
It was low. I went to a lot of those games that year. It was rough.
Ooh, hard stomping, huh?
Yeah, in the height of the construction,
exactly.
The overhaul, and they just could not compete. They sunk. They were trying to inch up. Remember, they had the wins against Levis and Anthony Robertson, and we were talking about those quarterbacks. Hey, they could be Vanderbilt, but those were huge wins for Clark Lee. He was emotional because he took over.
Those were building wins.
Yes, because Derek Mason after. Mm-hmm. COVID, it really sank. They didn't have enough players to play. A bunch of them left. It was as low as I've seen anybody take it over. So that first year for Clark Lee, you knew was going to be rough. Mm-hmm. Then he built a little something to build around, and then they sunk back with all that construction. Mm-hmm. Diego Pavia. So how deep will a voter go? A voter in pick a region, you know, Eugene, Oregon, or, you know, Denver, Colorado, Maine, you know, like those areas. Do they know that? I don't know. I don't know. They may or may not.
One texter says, I still can't wrap my head around the idea that the top two players up for the Heisman Trophy are from Indiana and Vanderbilt. This is the new world order of college football, brother. Perhaps it's here to stay. Greg on our text line says, as a Vols fan, I had to sit through Pavia Heisman talk, and I still got caller number three. Well, Greg, there will be plenty more opportunities to win Music City Bowl tickets to see your beloved Vols take on the Illini at the end of this month. So be listening. We're going to be doing it throughout the month.
Yes.
So, Greg, I'm sorry you didn't win this time, but try again later tomorrow. We're giving away tickets for the next couple of weeks. I believe. Okay. Let's get to the Tennessee Titans, grudgingly. The Tennessee Titans won 31-29 on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns to improve to 2-11 on the season. And I have to tell you, I rushed immediately to tankathon.com. And I saw where the Titans are in the draft order, and I do not like what I see. They are number three. Behind the Giants at 1 and the Raiders at 2. All three teams have 2-11 records, but the Titans lose the tiebreaker because of their strength of schedule. So at the moment, after winning on Sunday, the Giants did not play this past weekend. The Raiders lost to the Broncos. The Titans fall from number 1 to number 3 in the draft order. The Athletic's projection model. The Raiders are the favorite to have the number 1 pick at 44%. Followed by the Titans at 21%, the Jets at 11%, the Giants at 9%, and the Browns at 8%. If I did this correctly, if the Titans lose out, they lose their four remaining games at San Francisco, home to the Chiefs, home to the Saints, and at Jacksonville. The Titans will still have just a 67% chance of having the number one overall pick. So here's the question. We're going to ask a couple of questions about this, but here's the first question, the simplest question. Did the Titans just blow the number one pick in the 2026 NFL draft?
I don't think they cared about blowing the number one pick in the NFL
draft. Well, I know they didn't care, but I care.
No, because this league is, I mean, things can turn in a matter of quarters or weeks. You look at each one of these remaining schedules, whether it be the Titans or the Raiders or the Jets or the Giants, all of them have a difficult schedule moving forward. But each team has a team in there, theoretically, if you look at it, they can beat. The Giants can beat the Vegas Raiders. The Vegas Raiders can beat the Giants.
Yes.
You know?
That's an important game for the number one overall pick.
The Titans can beat New Orleans. New Orleans
that's
can
another
beat the
gigantic game for the number one overall pick.
So I think each team, and I tried to look at this and say, well, who has the hardest schedule moving forward? And I looked at it and said, well, all of them, really, in a sense. But you got three of them that ultimately are going to play one another. The Titans, well, all of them going to play one another. Well, no, the Titans play New Orleans. The Jets play New Orleans. So whoever wins that New Orleans game between the Titans and the Jets could determine their fate.
Let's quickly run through
because
the remaining.
Because both teams play the same individual.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the key games for the teams trying in the tankathon.
Let's run through the remaining schedules. The Titans at San Francisco versus Kansas City versus New Orleans at Jacksonville. Mm. The Raiders.
Now, remember, Jacksonville, in theory, could have resting players that day.
Or could be playing for the AFC South. Oh,
that's true, too.
The Raiders' remaining schedule. Yikes. At Philadelphia, at Houston, home to the Giants, home to the Chiefs.
Oh. This is between the Jets and the Titans.
The Jets at Jacksonville, at New Orleans, home to the Patriots, at the Bills.
Oh.
And the Giants, home to the Commanders, home to the Vikings, at the Raiders, home to the Cowboys.
It's going to come down to the Titans and the Jets. Why? Because both of those teams play Jacksonville and New Orleans.
The Raiders are a key team.
The Jets play them first. The Jets play Jacksonville, New Orleans, and then the Titans play them at the end of the season, the last two games at the end of the season. So that can be a big determination on who gets that number one pick.
Now, help me with this. You said it's because of strength of schedule. Haven't the Titans played, like, the toughest schedule in years?
I thought they did.
Why does that not work to their advantage?
Here is the official wording from the NFL. Quote, in situations where teams finished the previous season with identical records, the determination of draft position is decided by strength of schedule, the aggregate winning percentage of a team's opponents. The team that played the schedule with the lowest winning percentage will be awarded the higher pick.
It's just like, you should have done better. You played easier teams.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. So it's the reverse. You're not rewarded for strength of schedule. It's the reverse.
Correct. It's the reverse. And
so of all things, you get piled on. Yes. We're talking about Cam Ward's playing all these tough defenses, tough schedule, and, well, at least they'll get the first pick. Nope, that works against you in this.
And head-to-head doesn't factor in immediately. Uh-huh. So although the Raiders beat the Titans, that doesn't work in the Titans' favor either if they're tied at the end of the season.
Right. See,
at least
again,
not immediately.
The arbitrary head-to-head. This is a great example because yesterday we were talking all about head-to-head Miami-Notre Dame for the college thing is – they brought it in at the last minute, and everybody went nuts. Here, it's like, nope, head-to-head doesn't mean anything.
Let's go to John on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. John, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to talk about Diego, and I think he's a great player, probably one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen. But I think, and from a personal firsthand account, I think his family is going to mess up his Heisman chances because they don't want to deal with him.
Well, thank you for the call, John.
Who is they?
The voters.
The voter.
Why would they have to deal with them?
They don't have to deal with him.
They don't have to deal with him.
Well, the world has to deal with him if he wins.
Again, the Pavia family in New York City, I shudder to think about it. But I've heard this a couple of times. I've heard this from some of our texters that Diego Pavia's family, including someone I'm not allowed to discuss on the show,
right,
that his family is going to be used against him. His family is going to negatively impact his chances. Again, there are 900-plus people who vote on this award. Could one person not vote for Diego Pavia because they say, I don't want to see his mom all over my television screen?
That would be so idiotic.
I can't rule that out. I can't rule that out. But I trust the Heisman voters enough that Diego Pavia's chances of winning the Heisman Trophy are not going to be drastically affected by his brothers and his mother.
No,
not drastically, but could there be a fringe? Maybe. Okay, what's crazier? having that affect somebody's vote or Mendoza's post-game interview after they beat Ohio State? Because that was crazy.
The way he sounded.
I mean, it was crazy.
He sounded like a kid on helium at a birthday party who had just had a gigantic piece of cake.
And just talking like so fast.
He was excited.
He was very excited. Look, he had a right to be. He had
absolutely.
Right to be
by the way, remaining strength of schedule in the NFL. The Raiders have the fourth remaining strength of schedule. I assume that means the hardest. The fourth hardest remaining strength of schedule. The Titans are at 11. The Jets are at 17.
How are the Jets at 17?
And the Giants are at 28.
I guess because they play.
And the Saints are at 32.
I don't, man, because they essentially, I guess you're saying by percentages San Fran and Kansas City are better than. No, it's the same thing.
I think the Raiders are in the driver's seat here.
Here's a factor to me. What are we going to see from the Chiefs from here on out? Because
that's
kind of just holding it together with duct tape and barbed wire. And I mean, they're hanging on by a thread. I can see them just saying, you know what? This isn't our year, man. Let's shut some guys down. Like, seriously, they've got to get healthy for next year. Like, they're they're teetering.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what their playoff odds aren't good right now. So in the coming weeks, if the reality sets in that they're not making the playoffs, I think they will start shutting people down.
Well, they ain't going. Hopefully, they start shutting them down after this week because the Titans play them the next following week.
One text.
Well, 3 weeks. No, so you got 3 weeks. So hopefully, they shut them down after this week and then no. So when they get to them, they don't have to worry about playing against Patrick Mahomes.
One texter, Taylor, says, the only path for the Titans to get the first pick is to lose out with the Giants winning against Washington and Vegas beating the Giants in week 17. Hmm. I haven't done all of that math.
There's always a path.
And how bad is Geno Smith injured? That's another, like, he left the game against the Broncos the other day, and they had to bring in Kenny Pickett, and he didn't do so well. But
that team,
the Raiders, I feel like are competitive a lot of weeks. Like I wasn't thinking, like I thought they would win another game along the way. Like you got Geno Smith, you got Brock Bauer, like you got some good players. Max Crosby, not so much.
No.
They're finding, they do play in a very difficult division.
I'm going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched a single Raiders game since I had to sit through the Titans playing the Raiders several weeks ago.
I understand why.
I can't bring myself to waste my time. I waste enough time watching the Titans, let alone the Raiders. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will continue this conversation because people are mad online. People have to be mad online about something having to do with Sunday. And I want Derek Mason's opinion on it because of the three of us here, Derek is the most qualified to answer the question that I have for him. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Starting on Thursday between noon and 3, Chase and Big Joe will have your chance to win a $100 Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card, and you can qualify to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. It's the 12 days of Christmas on 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. David Janes on the ones and twos back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. A reminder, Trevor Maddich will join us at 4:20. Barry Trotz will join us at 5 o'clock.
So I gotta give David a little shout-out for some of the music he's coming in with.
All of these songs came out before he was born.
Yes, they did. So There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You throw a little Madonna out there, it brightens up the day.
That is very true. I can say that. I can say that confidently. So, again, the Titans win 31-29 on Sunday. They're 2-11. They have lost the number one pick in the draft. At the moment, in the draft order, they have gone down from number one to number three. And there has been plenty of discourse online, on this station. People are mad online about the Titans winning and whether it was the right thing to do. I don't mean to pick on Paul Kaharsky. I have a lot of admiration for Paul Kaharsky. I'm going to read the start of his story after the game in Cleveland on Sunday. Quote, many of you are sad, lamenting the likelihood of lost draft position, but your team is happy. The guys you were happy the Titans drafted with 2025 set of high picks in April, some of whom you hope will be foundational, put together a solid effort and won a game over a team you'd like them to be better than if you'd set the damn draft aside for a minute. So it's a bit of a Titans fan / media civil war going on. There's team tank and there's team winning has value. And I know which side of the aisle Derek Mason is on. So I want you to speak on behalf of team winning is good, despite the fact that it might ruin the Titans draft stock. So I want you, as the resident all-pro wide receiver in the NFL, to tell us why it's not a bad thing, in your opinion, that the Titans won on Sunday.
Well, first, Paul's right. You go into a season and you see how the season is playing out, and they're a bad team. But, you know, there's a moment where those young guys that everybody's talked about and you know, at the beginning of the year, the Titans can't develop anybody. Why should they make the drafts? Well, you're starting to see these young guys develop a little bit. And with development, you may win a game or two that you didn't think you were going to win, or the fan base didn't think you were going to win. So I understand the fan base thinking that, you know, the way to jumpstart this organization is to get as many picks and to get the number one pick. I get that. But we also got to blame ourselves, because at the beginning of the season, it's, oh, the Titans need to do this with the high pick. They need another, you know, a high pick this, and they're only going to win two games next year. So we're feeding all of this. Even myself, we're feeding all this into the fan base's head. So when the season comes, they think we need another high pick. Because the high picks we had last year, we should have traded them for one, but we didn't, and we still hadn't got enough guys. We need more guys. So what is going to allow us to get more guys? A higher pick, so we can possibly trade out of it. So this is what the fan base is thinking now going into the season. They know the team bad. Everybody knows the team bad. The team is bad. They win a game or two. Now it's, you can't mess up our draft order, because they've been fed all of this stuff in their head. So we all are to blame. But as a former player, listen, we are going out there because, unlike the fans, no matter if that player is there or not, you're still going to be a fan of that team if that's your team. Guys are playing for their jobs each and every week. We can't say, well, you know what, man, we need us a left tackle, so I'm going to drop a few balls today. Or I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say, you know, I ain't playing, just so I can do my part in trying to get that whatever player we need at the number one spot. But if I do that, I'm not going to be there. They're going to cut me. So I'm not going to reap the benefits of trying to tank or lose games anyway, because I'm not going to be there. Head coach the same way. As bad, as much as we know, and Mike McCoy know, he's not going to be the coach next year. Everybody knows it. But he still, there's other jobs out there in this league. And I'm sure he wants to be a head coach somewhere once again. So he has to approach it as if we are going to win every, or we're going to do our best to try to win every game. It's hard to convince players, and get it. Gambling is out there. I understand that. But unlike some sports out there, I mean, it's going to take a lot for in the world of football, unless you're the quarterback. But it's going to take a lot for you to throw the game, so to speak. It's going to take a whole bunch of stuff for you to throw the game. And players are not wired like, at least the guys that I knew, that I played with.
But here's what happens.
We're not wired like that.
I agree with you. I think players are going to play hard, maybe some more than others. But nobody's going to throw a game.
No.
But here's what can happen, right? I just mentioned the Chiefs. Adam Vingan, outside linebacker. He's got a bad knee. Playing through it, wants to play. He's a good player. If he's in the game, it increases our chances of winning.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? We need Adam for next year. We got to have him 100% for training camp. Mm-hmm. He needs a procedure. Let's shut him down.
But you're not doing that to
happens.
Lose games. You're doing that to protect the player.
No,
I'm just telling you, because
But no,
I've seen teams do that. Like, I've been a part of
that's
teams
what
I'm,
but that's what you
like,
do.
Listen,
that's what you do.
No reason
and you
to
have
risk
every
him.
Reason to do that.
Okay. Yeah.
But it helps you not win.
That's just like somebody getting injured. It's the same thing. So,
but everybody has guys injured.
Exactly.
He could play. He wants to play. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, Adam, I got to shut you down, man. We need you for next year, even though I know he could play. And he could still
and maybe
probably
you
want to
see some of the younger guys. You feel like, hey, listen,
right.
A young guy can go out there and give me what he's giving me now because he's right. injured. A young guy can go out there, fresh legs, go out right. there, and we can evaluate him while he's out there.
Exactly. And also.
You're trying to get the – no, I'm not. I'm stopping it right there,
look,
Willie. I'm stopping
it. Let's be real.
No.
Let's be real.
No,
it happens.
That.
It happens.
I get that part.
And it's not the coach. It's the coach is, hey, I want you guys to
but
play.
Then you
I want them to play hard.
But what if that one
the
game –
the guys who are playing, I want to play super hard. And if they win, great.
But I'm going to remove Adam. But what if Adam's right. replacement comes in and, bam, he hits?
Great.
Now you're
I found another player.
But you're winning still.
Yeah, that's okay. You can't throw the game, but
yes.
you can
try to manipulate.
You can manipulate your
okay.
roster.
Yes, okay, I get. I'm still not, but I see yeah. what you're saying.
To be clear, none of us are accusing the Titans of attempting to throw games here.
No, of course
I think
not.
Cleveland might have
those 2-point conversions.
Cleveland,
one where Shedeur Sanders is not on the field and that guy's running around football follies, just chucking it across the field. Like Arden Key, how big did his eyeballs get? He's like, he's just throwing this ball to me. What's he doing? But then the other one, where the guy just felt like, what was going on with those play calls? I have no idea. It does make you wonder.
It does. But in defense of team tank here, you're on team winning is good.
Absolutely.
I'm on team winning is good.
Willie, of course,
gotta
you're
play
on team
hard.
Winning is good.
But I'm all for manipulating. within reason, right?
Okay.
Everybody that suits up is playing hard. We're trying to win. But I am going to make sure I don't
jeopardize,
and I'm going to err on the side of caution.
Okay. So let's
– elevate a couple more guys in that practice
squad. Let me rephrase. Derek is on team winning is good.
Exactly.
Willie is on team winning is good to an extent.
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm on team tank.
Okay.
And look – I watched the news conferences, after the game on Sunday. You could sense the relief on the players' faces. Mike McCoy, the ultimate substitute teacher, I'm sure he was thrilled. But ultimately, the Titans have an opportunity to have the number one pick again and do something they chose not to do a year ago, which is trade down and build through the draft. And by winning on Sunday, they put that opportunity in serious jeopardy. And when you look at the top of the draft, we were just talking about the Heisman Trophy. Fernando Mendoza, I anticipate, being the top quarterback in this draft, much like Cam Ward was the top quarterback in his draft last year. I haven't done a whole lot of studying on the draft, on the quarterback class, but I know that it's far different than what we expected it to be when the season started. When the season started, we were talking about Arch Manning. We were talking about Garrett Nussmeier. We were talking about Drew Aller. We were talking about...
Drew Aller.
Right? We were talking about Lenora Sellers. Now you have Fernando Mendoza. You might have Ty Simpson. You'll have Dante Moore. You could have Sellers still, but Sellers had a down season. A lot of people were incredibly high on Sellers at the beginning of the season. So there aren't too many quarterbacks that could be number one pick worthy. And if you have the number one pick and a team is desperate for a quarterback, you've got him. And you can hold that pick for ransom. And if the Titans don't end up with the number one pick, let's say they end up at number three, the quarterback or quarterbacks are probably gone, you're not going to receive a windfall for trading the number three pick.
What did the Jacksonville Jaguars give up to move up to, what, the second spot?
They gave up. They went from 5-2.
Yeah.
And it was a significant haul.
Exactly. It was.
So you don't necessarily – so what I'm trying to get is you don't necessarily have to have the number one pick. maybe this year isn't a good year to have the number one pick. Maybe having the second or third pick is a pick that you can go out there and try to negotiate a move on. But no one's going to negotiate a move on the number one pick because no one thinks that these quarterbacks but I've always said it only takes one team, and it still does. But even with that one team, there may be another team that said, well, I didn't want to move up to one, but I could move up to two or three and be willing to give this in return. So having those, that's why I said don't. I understand Adam loves Tankathon.
I do love Tankathon.
And the fan base don't want the Titans winning. I get that part. But they may end up being in a better spot, not having the number one pick, and then being able to negotiate a move out of the two or three pick for someone that wants a quarterback at the third pick or another player at the second pick.
Yeah. Look, it's rare that a team has consecutive number one picks. It has happened twice in recent memory.
Carolina?
The Jaguars had the number one pick in 2021 and 2022, taking Trevor Lawrence and Trayvon Walker. The Browns had the number one pick in 2017 and 18, taking Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield. But, so it's a rare opportunity.
Well, Carolina or Chicago had it but traded away?
Carolina traded it.
Traded up to get it.
Yes.
To get Bryce
yeah.
Young.
Correct.
So Chicago had
Chicago
it 2 years
had
in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, too, the biggest reason that I think is the advantage of having the first pick is that you dictate mm-hmm. and can trade down. And the Titans need that. From a who you get, it is a little bit arbitrary. Like, if you're like, oh, we got to get the first pick, mm-hmm. first pick. There's been plenty of years where the third or the fourth pick has been better than the first pick. Mm-hmm. Way better, right? And you're fortunate to have gotten it. Like, everything happens for a reason, right? It works out. If you're smart scouting, sometimes you get the guy that you need and you didn't have to tank.
They just
need more picks. That's what I kind of hope happens.
Do I need to find the study from the Nobel Prize winning economist?
It's out there. It's
do
out
I
there.
Need to pull that up again?
I have
no
referenced more, it. It's
no
out there.
Nobel Prize winners on this show, man.
Derek has banned Nobel Prize winners on this program, but do I need to find the study?
It's there.
615-737.
And it's smart.
1025.
The guy that did it was smart.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm on Team Tank. Which team are you on? Team Tank or Team Winning is Good? 615 or Team Winning is Good to an extent, which is Willie's team. 615-737-1025. We will take your reaction to that. We will also react to a literal grandpa being signed by an NFL team today. 615-737-1025. Join Chase and Big Joe tomorrow from noon to 3 at the Dunkin' located at 1645 West Main Street in Lebanon. Stop by with a stuffed toy and donate it to a child this holiday season. 1025 The Game is teamed up with Nashville Children's Alliance to give all these awesome stuffed toys donated by you. Just for stopping by, you'll be qualified for a 4-pack of tickets in the all-inclusive 501 Club at Bridgestone Arena for a Predators home game. A special thanks to the Metro Nashville Police Department, the Catalana Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, Richmar Florist, Right Time HVAC, and Relodyne. For more information and a list of Dunkin' locations that you can donate a stuffed toy, visit thegamenashville.com/toy.